Hey, everybody. Welcome to another podcast, Omelet Radio here. Thank you so much for tuning in and subscribing to the podcast and getting a notification when I set out a new one of these. It's just really super cool. I'm enjoying doing it. It's from my home studio. I get to have on a bunch of guests that I love having on. I mean, genuinely love having on. I don't have to have any guests on, but there's a few friends that I wanted to catch up with, and this episode is no exception. In fact, I love talking to regular people. This is sort of a celebrity that I have on this week, and so was last week, Steve Marchena. But more so, I look at these people as just regular people that are doing and living their dreams, especially this week and last week. And I just like talking to regular people. There's no advertising pressure to get a certain guest on or anything. So I just, you know, I'm reaching out to these people and they're reaching out to me, and I just love having a real conversation with people. And that's why I have Artemis as my guest. He worked on KLT, and we get into all the past of how I know him quickly in the interview. But he is doing well now. He is in Flint. He is on the radio. This is his fourth radio station. Artemis works at Club 93.7 out of Flint. And as I make fun of in the interview, today's hottest jams. Yeah. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm so white. Anyway, I want to thank my sponsors, World Truck and Auto Body in Traverse City, located right behind Classic Motorsports off of US 31 between the Chum's Corners and the mall. Auto Body and collision repair for any size vehicle. And that goes from commercial vehicles, semis, SUVs, motorhomes, regular cars, tiny little cars. They could do it all. If you've got a bump, if you got a dent on your bumper, they could fix it. If you got some rust spots, they can fix it. If you need anything sandblasted, they are sandblasting specialists. Have anything metal sandblasted and painted or sandblasted ready for custom paint, you could take it there. They're not offended if you want to get it painted somewhere else. And they love that, in fact. Classic cars from all over Michigan. Go to World Truck and Auto Body in Traverse City to get stripped and get blasted and get ready for paint. They do custom door work as well. If you got garage doors, if you got entryways to custom homes, they do all of that. Free estimates, no obligation. Call Jeff or Bob, 231-943-9945. Call or stop by World Truck and Auto Body in Traverse City. Located right behind Classic Motorsports off of US 31 between the Chum's Corners and the mall. Call them, 231-943-9945. And if you need to write that down, I'll give you a second to get a pencil. All right. 231-943-9945. Also, if you shop online, if you shop on Amazon, just go to my website first and click the Amazon banner, and then that'll direct you to Amazon, and I get a little kickback of the dollar amount that you purchase. And thank you so much, Mark in Petoskey. He knows who I'm talking about. He sent me an email and asked me a question. Hey, I was about to spend $1,300 on Amazon. Can I go through your website? Will you get a kickback? I'm an Amazon Prime member. And I was like, yeah, that would be awesome. So thank you, Mark, so much for that purchase. And we get a little kickback. We reinvested in the podcast. And thank you so much in advance for doing that. Shop online, Amazon, that's it. You go through my website, click the banner, doesn't cost you anymore, and I get a little kickback on the dollar amount that you spend. Okay. Thank you, Amazon. Thank you, World Truck and Auto Body. It's time for Artemis. Artemis is a young broadcaster in the radio business, and it's all self-explanatory. He's down in Flint. He's moving up in market size. He's a very talented guy that I noticed right from the start, and enjoy it. And first, let's listen to a little Tom Petty, half a song, and then we'll get into the Artemis interview. All right, you guys, next podcast, I'm just going to do a solo one. I'm going to answer all your emails. We'll catch up. We'll talk personal stuff and, you know, have a real one-on-one discussion. But I wanted to get Artemis on, and he's a really interesting guy and an inspiring guy at a very young age. He's in his mid-20s, and he's a radio businessman for life. Here we go. Omelet Radio, Artemis is my guest this week. Thank you.
OmeletRadio.com. With your host, Omelet. Take it away, Omelet.
Well, you can't turn him into a company man. You can't turn him into a whore.
talking so much, and he won't play what they say to play. And he don't want to change what don't need to change. And there goes the last DJ, who plays what he wants to play and says what he wants to say. Hey, hey, hey. And there goes your freedom of choice. There goes the last human voice. And there goes the last DJ. Some folks say they're gonna hang him so high, cause you just can't do what he did. There's some things you just can't put in the minds of those kids. As we celebrate mediocrity, all the boys upstairs wanna see how much you'll pay for what you used to get for free. And there goes the last DJ, who plays what he wants to play and says what he wants to say. Hey, hey, hey. And there goes your freedom of choice. And there goes the last human voice. And there goes the last DJ.
Artemis, how you doing, man?
I'm good, man. It's good to hear from you. It's been a while.
Thank you for coming on, man. I'm sorry for some misinformation that Fluffer set forth. In fact, I think I was going to call him and put him on the spot tonight because he was saying some false information about you two podcasts ago. So we'll clear that up in a minute. But I just wanted to let you know that when you were at KLT and you were just coming on, I was like, man, it's good to see a young kid. And I say that because, you know, you seemed like a kid to me. You know, you're in your early 20s or whatever, late teens. How old were you when you started at KLT?
I think I was 20 years old. So yeah, I was pretty young.
Yeah, that's
time's gone by since then, man. It's been crazy. So
I know. And we're going to get to that. But I just wanted to let you know that I saw something special in you, that you did awesome production. You adapted to the format, even though the music is like a lot older than you. A lot of those, you know what I mean? Like you yeah. really embraced it. You did these awesome imagers that were like, you kind of rocked them up. You kind of hipped them out. You know, you like put a beat behind Led Zeppelin and stuff. You sped it up. And I was like, man, that's either sacrilegious or totally awesome and innovative. And I think I'll go with the latter. But no, yeah, you just kind of stepped in there and did your thing. You had confidence. You were young. You were taking the bull by the horns. And I really respected that.
Yeah, you know, it was my first radio gig. And I went to Specs for radio broadcasting and got fresh out and had a great opportunity to go full time. And it was a great learning experience for sure. I look back at, you know, that being my first gig. And I learned a lot, not only from watching you guys, you know, you and Finster. And, you know, it's crazy when you look at what you and Finster had, and you look at that compared to, you know, some major markets. I mean, you guys were, you could really have grabbed that station, and especially what the morning show was doing it, and throw that into a Detroit market, and it would have done just fine. I think what you two had was definitely ahead of its time for Northern Michigan radio. So it was great to kind of sit back and listen to that and learn from it.
Well, you know what it did for us was it really gave us an opportunity to develop, which is, you know, essential in any broadcasting team or individual. Is, you know, you need a place to start throwing it down and take chances, and sometimes the bigger markets don't afford you that, you know, that ability to screw up or to, you know, make bad decisions, you know, because we're a little under the radar up here. So I mean, that's the, you know, and that's what you did as the first time job. And then you, I don't know what caused your demise, and you know, I don't like to spend a lot of time on that stuff here on the podcast because I don't really talk about a lot of what led me away from KLT. But you ended up across the street at KHQ, which is, you know, a very revered, you know, top 40 broadcaster, you know, legendary for its successful ratings and stuff. And you really excelled over there as well.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy when you look at Northern Michigan radio. There's basically three stations that stand out as, in radio they call it heritage, and you know this, but for the people that don't, it was always KLT, WTCM, and KHQ. And, you know, after some things happened at KLT, and I don't wish any of them ill will. In fact, you know, not to bring up a sore subject, but I've tried reaching out to, you know, one or two people there, and have gotten a cold shoulder, and it is what it is. You know, I can look past it. It's just it's kind of disappointing that, you know, you try and go back and you're like, OK, you know, I was wrong in this aspect. You were wrong in that aspect. But, you know, bygones be bygones. I try not to burn bridges. But, yeah, I went from KLT, which is, you know, a classic rock station, to top 40. And it was really an adjustment. But, man, I learned so much at KHQ and worked with some really great people that I consider to be great friends to this day. So, you know, I was really lucky to you know, obviously, unfortunately, you know, things didn't work out at KLT, but for another full-time gig to pop up in Northern Michigan is rare. And for one to actually work out was even better. So.
Yeah, but all of this must be like way like water under the bridge in an ultimate way, because you then succeeded. You went to Indiana for a little while after KHQ, and then when I looked you up the last time I looked you up, and then you found my podcast, which I thank you so much, but you ended up in Flint. You were at you're at the Club 93.7 in Flint. Today's hottest jams. Yeah. Hey. No, you are there, Artemis. And I looked you up, man. I was watching YouTube videos of you with the 60-second challenge.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That stuff is awesome, man. You have rappers come in and they get 60 seconds to spit in the mic, as they say. And and then people vote online and Facebook and on YouTube and whatever. I mean, that's a really great bit. And I, you know, as a non, you know, I mean, I liked Straight Outta Compton. I went to the movies and I love that movie, even though, you know, and I've got a lot of respect for the rappers and stuff, but you know, I just don't find myself my own time listening to them, you know. But I love the dream and chasing after your dream, and that is not format exclusive, you know what I mean? And you know, going through hard times, and especially some of these backstories of some of these artists, you know, overcoming adversity and, you know, the trouble that they must be faced with at times, you know, like with anybody. But I just want to let you know that I do have respect for that, and I see it in a lot of these guys' eyes that are on the 60-second challenge. You have these guys come in the studio and you give them an opportunity sometimes for an opening for a national act. Talk a little bit about that, Artemis, because I think it's really cool. And I'm glad you ended up in Flint, which is a much larger market. So no matter what happened to you here, and no matter who's not calling you back from here, soon they're going to be calling you, man. Just like I did. Just like I did. I called you.
Well, I mean, you know, it's obviously, if people don't know, and I wanted to clear things up about the, you know, what Fluffer said, I did draw a dick in the snow, and that is why I got fired. It had nothing to do with
that's
it.
Ridiculous. You don't get fired for that. You should. That's hilarious.
Well, I mean, you know what it's like when you work with mom and pop shops, you know, is what I call them, with the radio biz, and you're working with smaller, you know, markets and stuff. They really take, you know, drawing a dick in the snow very hard. No pun intended. But it was one of those
smaller markets and smaller minds.
Yeah. And it's one of those things to where, you know, I did it and, you know, whatever. But I didn't, to clear things up, I didn't say anything about MLK Day or anything like that. But that's
No, you didn't. Yeah. You didn't. I doubted you did that.
But yeah, from there, I went to South Bend and went from nights to mornings. And I did mornings with one of my great friends now, Rob Sparks. And then from there, I went to Flint. And, you know, one thing that people don't understand about being in Flint is they think that it's all just, you know, it's a, you know, murder town and it's so terrible. But being in this market has really helped me grow as a personality, dealing with, you know, dealing with adversities as such as, you know, being a white dude on a rhythmic station.
Yeah, totally.
You know, but it's something to where, you know, I kind of, and in all honesty, and not to, you know, for lack of better words, not to kiss your ass, but I looked at what you did with bringing in people and making them a part of the show. And that's very, you know, if you go back to like Howard Stern, if it wasn't for the people on his show, he was nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. The characters.
Yeah, and you know, I as far as like being on club, it wasn't so much characters, but it was bringing in the people in the city and showing that, you know, the city was talented when it comes to hip hop and rap. So yeah, we started doing, you know, local content like the 60-second challenge, and we do a thing called the 8-1 show where we interview local artists, and it's all about, you know, live and local and just beating it into people's heads that it's not just a, you know, a station like a Cumulus station to where, you know, after 9 a.m. everything's syndicated. You know, I'm on from 3 p.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Friday, which is a super long shift, but
super, you know, long, Artemis. That's incredible. And you have a syndicated morning show, the Bake Up Boys.
Yeah, the Bake Up Boys. We're actually local in the morning too. Clay in the morning, he's local, but we do have the Bake Up Boys that play on the weekend.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. Clay is local.
Yeah, Clay's local. This is crazy, Omelet. We have we only have two on-air staff members for Club 937. And it's Clay, he's on from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m., and then I'm on from 3 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Holy smokes, man.
Yeah, it's a little rough, but it's taught me a lot to really make it quick on air. And if people want to check out the digital stuff that's really local, you know, we make that an opportunity for our listeners. So
that's cool. And now how old are you now, Artemis?
27. I'll be 28 in April.
27. So. And you have been in the business for now 7 years, and you've moved out of state. You moved back in the market. You moved up in market size. And, you know, you were nice for saying those nice things about me. But, you know, what I chose to do is start in a high market and then get lower and lower and lower and lower.
So yeah, but look at what it did for you, though. I mean, when you really think about it, you guys had something going for 10 years that no one's, and not to talk crap about any other station up there, but nobody's really been able to compete with that and have as much talk as you guys did with the Camp Omelet and with the, you know.
Yeah, I mean, thanks, Artemis. You know, again, I get back to that. You know, it gave us an opportunity to really spread our wings and then to, you know, develop that style show where it's personality intensive. And, you know, talking, you know, out of a 4.5-hour show, I think we were talking about 2 hours and 45 minutes of that four and a half hours. So that's every day. So then when you get home, it's like, man, the tank is empty, and then you have to reload. And that really takes all day and all night, and, you know, really spending time on that. And that's what I wanted to do, man. I mean, listen, it's my love of the business and the love of creativity, you know, that keeps me back, coming back for more. And it really took coming to this size market to develop that. And then now I'm trying to sell it to larger markets, which I did get some nice offers, you know, and it's nice to hear from some bigger towns. You know, I'm talking markets in, you know, close to the top 40 top markets.
Yeah.
And I really want to pinpoint something closer to, you know, I either want to stay in Michigan or I want to go back to New England where I'm from. And I've been in hot pursuit, and I've been getting some bites, which is totally encouraging. But, you know, my wife's from Michigan, so I'd really like to stay in Michigan. She's licensed in Michigan. She's a real estate appraiser. So, you know, I'm happy, man. I'm happy doing the podcast. You know, I'm keeping my chops up. And plus, I get to reunite with and have some meaningful conversations with people that I respect and that I wanted to bring to the forefront, because even the podcasting thing has really taken off, man. Like, much to my surprise, it's an audience that just grows and grows. And while the audience grows, the technology grows, people become more aware of it. If you ask people about a podcast 5 years ago, especially in northern Michigan, you know, where, you know, people were like flip phones until like 2 years ago. And then, and now everybody's like, oh, that's what that purple button is for on my iPhone. You know, like that. Yeah. I have a podcast button. I never pressed it, and then I press it for them, and then I hit the search, and I put in an omelet, and I'm like, you're subscribed. And then they get a notification. I get an email from them a week later, and they're so excited. And then I recommend other podcasts and stuff. You know, listen, man, if you're not embracing technology and you're not like I'm a fan first. I've always said that, and I'll always continue to say that. Like I started listening to podcasts a while ago when I was just married in 2010. We were forced to, while we were waiting on closing on our house, we had to move to a log cabin, which was out in Spider Lake. Hardly got radio reception. Definitely didn't get, there was no TV in these cabins. So I heard Adam Carolla started a podcast, and when I was in town, I downloaded it on my computer, and then when I went out into the woods, into the cabin, and this was just for a few months, but that was our entertainment at night, was listening to the Adam Carolla podcast, one of the podcast pioneers, you know? And,
yeah.
And and it was like sitting around listening to the radio, like in the 30s or 40s, you know how families used to do that? Like, we've only seen pictures of that. but it's just like the whole family sitting around, like, you know, we didn't have a suit and tie on in the living room, but it's really that cool, you know. And now when I mow the lawn, I got a podcast on, I got the earbuds in, you know, you could pause it when you go into a store, you come back out. I'm not taking away from radio at all, but you know, I mean, I'm sure, without knowing the answer for sure, and I'm gonna let you talk now, but when, you know, to embrace these technologies like YouTube and like Twitter and Facebook and stuff, I mean, it's an absolute guarantee. You must do that. And podcasting should somehow integrate into radio, like either exclusive content, you know, like extended interview that maybe you don't have enough time to air at all on the air. Then you could say, go to the website and get the whole interview, or, you know, maybe a secret interview, whatever. But we got to embrace all these technologies and have it work with radio, instead of like radio saying, oh, podcasting is the enemy. You know, it's like embrace it and integrate it into your programming, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that, you know, working in Flint, the one thing that I've realized more than anything is embracing the digital content and embracing the, you know, basically turning your digital content that you can provide and making it live and local. Here where I work at Club, we do up to 12, you know, even more if it depends on local and breaking news and all that. But we do all local content in our articles that we post on our website. And then we, you know, we feed that out to Twitter and Facebook and everything. But, you know, me personally with podcasts, I drive up, like tomorrow I'm going to drive up to West Branch to meet my son's mom to drop him off. And on the way back, you know, I listened to a lot of Joe Rogan. I listened to Mark Maron. I was a big fan of, you know, Joey Diaz.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Like,
oh,
Joey
shit. Diaz,
the Church to me is like one of the best podcasts ever, just because it's a, you know, if you want to hear realness and for one, I've never, if you watch Joey's YouTube and Periscope before he goes on, I've never seen a man eat so much edibles in my life.
and you know what, Artemis, I'm glad you said that, and I'm so glad you know, that's why I immediately liked you and can continue to like you, especially after, I mean, I never invest too much right away with anybody because of all my years, and I'm kind of jaded and stuff like that. And yeah. I've seen a million interns and stuff, and very few people catch my eye, and you certainly did. And I'm so glad you gravitate towards that quality. Like Joey Diaz is a master storyteller. Master, you know, like talk about, I wish that I could be that honest with the audience. I mean, I think I'm pretty honest, but if I got that honest.
Yeah, when he talks about how he kidnapped somebody and served time in prison for it, and I mean, you know, about how he was addicted to cocaine, and it's just like, you know, there's nobody I appreciate, you know, and I think that's why I gravitate to, because, I mean, you could probably vouch for this. In this industry, there are people that come and go so frequently, but there's also, and it's not me sounding rude, but it's just being, you know, real, but there's not many genuine people in the industry. There's a lot that want to be like Ryan Seacrest and talk about top 40 news all day, but there's not a lot that will tell you, you know, on air, yeah, last night I had a fight with my girlfriend. Now she's my ex, and da da da. You know, people want to hear.
They
you know,
do.
People want. They want to hear that realness. And you know, if you want, I mean, any of your listeners, if they're listening right now, listening to the Church of What's Happening, it's the greatest. To me, it's the greatest podcast because it's not only real, but it's some of the funny. I've never cried while laughing so hard in a car by myself, look completely like an idiot, just, you know, going down the highway crying with tears rolling down my eyes.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that because even watching YouTube these days, and just like you guys have a YouTube channel, Club 93.7, yeah. Big of boys on the weekends. Oh, and you know what? I saw this guy, Cliff Mack. I gotta come back to Cliff Mack. He was in your studio, and he's on your YouTube, and that guy is awesome. But, you know, I've even transitioned from watching, you know, there's Mike and Molly on, you know, primetime television. So
right.
I'm watching the Church of What's Happening now on YouTube on my television because now YouTube is part of the smart TVs. You know, and if you're just staying up with this stuff, now I'm watching HDTV on demand, but not only the network televisions or cable television, but I'm watching YouTube subscription television. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I'm subscribing to all these, not only YouTube stars or comedians that have YouTube channels and Joe Rogan. You know, you could put Joe Rogan on. It's like a 3.5-hour show.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's so so interesting and so thought provoking. And these guys, you know, they're getting high. They're you know, it's like I've never seen anything like it on television. I grew up with David Letterman, and I thought that was like innovative, you know, and especially.
Yeah.
But it was when he started. It was like, listen, I don't know if you could relate with this at all, Artemis, but. Johnny Carson, you know, when I was a kid, there was Johnny Carson, and this was a straight guy, gray hair, suit, and he was having regular conversations with a little bit of dry humor in there, you know. But then David Letterman came along, and here's this guy, and his hair was messed up, and he was wearing sneakers with a suit. And this is in the early days of Letterman, not right before he retired, which is probably more of what you remember. But he had a weird guy, like under the guy under the stairs. He had this Larry Bud Melman. He had like weird people, like it was like regular people that he would have on the. And that's what I was influenced by, is pretty much David Letterman. And of course, there was a Howard influence, but I didn't listen to a lot of Howard. He wasn't on in my market while, mm-hmm. you know, until I was on the radio. And then I was on the radio at the same time. It was only like when he went to Sirius that I got to hear him because they would replay his show throughout the day. But David Letterman used to have on like this woman, Terry Garr, and she mm-hmm. was like, she had a couple of screws loose, and she used to like, are you making fun of me right now? Like in the middle of the interview. And he's like, no. And she's like, start crying and stuff. And he, you know, I was like, whoa, this is a different show. You know,
yeah.
I was very influenced by that. But, you know, I was always attracted to what is like a little more real or a little more left than center. And I'm glad that you are also influenced by that. And that's what you want to listen to on your off time. And you know, it's got to seep in there somewhere. You're on the air for, what, 7 hours a day? 35 hours a week? And, you know, that's on air time. That doesn't count show prep time and whatever else you got going on in your personal life. Let's talk about and what could you tell me about Cliff Mack? I got Cliff Mack queued up here, ready to play a piece from him from In Your Studio, one of your interviews. And this guy just thinks he's the best. He's the best. Yeah. Let's listen for a second. Here we go.
I feel like it ain't even actually a feeling. I know I'm going to be bigger than Boosie and be bigger than everybody one day. So to me, it was just like a normal experience. And I came at them like I'm on the level they already on. You right. feel me? He had security. I had security in there. So I just came with the image and just the look and everything that the city need instead of going in there on like a kind of groupie platform like they use. Like I feel like, and I ain't talking about nobody when I say this. That's why I had to get ready for this interview, man, because I like to talk, and then I get to saying a lot of real stuff, and then it might, people don't know how to take real stuff, but they got to stop the groupiness, the being, because for real, I feel like they got Flint. When it comes to like other artists, they make Flint look like a bunch of groupies.
That guy's a character, eh, Artemis?
Yeah.
That's Cliff Cliff Mack. I mean, I watched about maybe 20 of these, and he really stood out. It says, Cliff Mack, I'm the best music maker in Flint.
Cliff, you know, I do a lot of these interviews with artists in Flint, and, you know, he really stood out. And he's actually a pretty good friend of mine now. You know, I like people who... I know when you watch those interviews or when you hear him talk, you could hear, you know, a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, he's egotistical. But there's really a fine line between being egotistical and being confident in yourself. And Cliff is one of those people that, you know, he really is what he's about. And if you come down to Flint, I mean, when, you know, me and my wife, we go to certain places and it's in, you know, for lack of better words, you know, there's some of these places that are really in areas that, you know, if you say the wrong thing, you could get shot. It's not, you know, and I'm not trying to sound, you know, like I'm like, how do I make it sound decent? I'm not trying to make myself sound like, yeah, I've got street cred and everything, because that's not it at all. But I remember there was one time where Cliff was having a party at this place called Club 69, and it's on Saginaw Street in Flint. And me and my wife decided to go because he wanted me to come up there, and he let me in and everything. And you know, my wife and I were the only white people in the whole venue. And it was a strip club. And, you know, since then he's proven to me that there's certain people in Flint that, that say they're one thing. And with Cliff, he had my back that night, and he's had my back since then. And I consider him a good friend. He's a good guy.
That's pretty awesome and pretty brave of you, man, to go on Saginaw Avenue in Flint. I mean, yeah, it sounds dangerous, but I hear what you're saying, and I think that once people see you, and you know, of course, the radio doesn't hurt, but you know, they don't know that right away, but they're like, hey, we're not gonna, you know, look at this guy. He's the only white boy for miles, you know. He's either cool or he's crazy, but chances are he's probably cool. And then they're like, hey, who's that white boy? And I don't know if they say that. but like, yeah, that guy's with Club 93.7. Yeah. 60-second challenge. That's Artemis. All of a sudden, you're in the bottle. You're behind the clubs. You got the VIP.
Yeah, it's one of those things to where, you know, especially doing live broadcasts around here. Man, I tell you what, there's a lot of people up north who think that they're tough and everything. And I tell you what, like, I don't act like I'm tough when I go out to these live broadcasts. I just act like I'm me. But I'd really like to take some of these people up north that claim that, you know, they're hood or they've got street cred and drop them off of, you know, Welch Boulevard and see how they do. Cause it's a whole different world down here, and people can really tell when you're not being genuine and not being real. And, you know, I don't walk around acting like I'm somebody that I'm not. And, you know, as long as you respect me, I respect you. So I think that's where Cliff and I kind of got along, you know, and he doesn't expect me to get him a multi-million-dollar record deal. And I don't, you know, expect him to lend me, you know, some of the money that he's got. The guy is really, he's more than a rapper. He's a, you know, he owns multiple homes in Flint, which, you know, to some people may not be nothing, but, you know, he owns multiple businesses. The guy really hustles from the ground up, and I respect him for that.
Well, I respect that too, man. And getting back to what you said about, people either, you know, being, you know, a fake or real, and the confidence that you spoke about, you know, I think that you have to be confident, you know, to a certain extent if you're going to be successful in life. Like, I'm, you know, I know this is an old reference, but it's not in Michigan. But I'm a big Kid Rock fan, and especially the Kid Rock that was more rapping in his earlier career. You know, I love those first three albums. You know, songs like Cocky and You've Never Met a Mother Effer Like Me, even though I could say the word on the podcast. I just don't
you
feel
should.
Like it.
You should. This is your show. You get to do what you want. I have a Kid Rock story if you have a minute. I've never told.
No, but I mean, that was kind of like the white, like, listen, This isn't a racist statement, but it's the thing that connects most to me. It's like, I like a lot of white rap. I like Eminem and I like Kid Rock, but I listen to very little of it. But again, when I saw Straight Outta Compton, I loved that, man. You laugh because it's my limited exposure to the format, but I thought the tunes were cool, man. I love the F the Police. I love that, man. I loved it. I love, like, when I got home and I forgot about it 2 days later, but I'm like, I'm going to go get NWA albums. I love that stuff. So, I mean, and also talk about the music, Artemis. I know you're younger, and younger has more of a rap influence because kids listen to, you know, Top 40 has, you know, kids listen to Top 40. I did when I was young, too, and at the time it was, you know, horrible music that I won't even tell you about in the early 80s. But young people listen to Top 40 music, and you were young when you started in radio. And so do you know about this music? Do you know the history of rap? I mean, is it something you really do like? I mean, it sort of makes sense that you were in this format a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, to be completely honest, I'm not a huge rap fan, and I'm not a huge rhythmic fan. And I think that has kind of helped me with getting into club, and I was honest with them from the beginning. I said I came from a classic rock format, and then after that it was the Top 40 for, you know, years.
And how did they respond to that?
I mean, really, I think what helped me was just having a good digital presence and having a good local presence, to where, you know, the one lady, she asked me, she said, do you know anything about Flint? And I said, absolutely not. I said, I've never even been here before. And you know, she kind of gave me a look, but you know, the second that I've got here, I embraced it, and you know, and I think that's what helped me. I went out, and you know, we would do the live broadcast, and I would meet people, and you know, find out, like, what area is this in, and what area is this in, and ask a lot of questions, because I was dropped here from South Bend. I moved back to Michigan to be closer to my son and be closer to a family that I have in Detroit. And you know, it was one of those things to where I just kind of embraced the format. And you know, now I would say in the past 2 years, my knowledge of hip hop and rhythmic music and urban music has skyrocketed compared to where it was at before.
That's cool. And occasionally on Sirius XM, I will listen to Shade 45.
Yeah.
And they've got this guy, Smoove.
Yeah.
He does the morning show. Or a midday.
Are you talking about Sway?
Sway, that's him. And he, you know what? He has David Lee Roth on.
He had Adam on it too.
He has Adam Carolla on, and it's great to, you know. I mean, it's just open minded. Like, I could tell he's kind of open minded having those kind of people on. What am I saying? Are they having white people on? No, but they're, I don't know, having a great conversation. And like, Adam Carolla is the most, you know, he's kind of a conservative. He's like the ultimate white guy. He's from The Man Show, you know, but he's getting along with Sway famously, you know, and I love it.
Yeah, I think that I think, you know, the rhythmic format, it's, you know, it's the format, and it's, you know, mainly rap music and urban music and everything. But, you know, it's really a format that embraces all types of people. I mean, you have people like Eminem, you have people like Lil Dicky, that's a white Jewish rapper that is almost like a Weird Al type rapper.
No way. What's his name?
His name's Lil Dicky.
Okay. I'm gonna look him up.
Yeah, it's one of those things to where, you know, the rhythmic format really is, as long as you're genuine and you're who you say you are, the people will embrace you. So it's awesome. It's you know, moving to Flint, I've had so many crazy experiences here and so many crazy times. And, you know, one of them being
Kid Rock
before, down the aisle, and partied with him at a friend's house and got really drunk and almost got into a fight with him. And, you know, I feel like that type of stuff doesn't happen unless you pick yourself up and move to situations and move to places that you're not. I mean, look at what you did. You moved from your hometown to Northern Michigan and look at all the experiences that have come because of that.
I'm from Boston. I went to Miami, and I've worked in Danbury, Connecticut, then I moved to Northern Michigan. Again, I like to go small. Everybody likes to go larger market. I like to go smaller market.
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah,
I'm just kidding. But you know what?
No, that's the thing, though. When you go to a smaller market, I mean, you know, you came into the market, and not to kiss your ass, but you didn't know anybody, and nobody knew you. And I mean, look at what happened in 10 years. You had a whole campground that opened up and let people just get crazy every year. You know, and I think that's why I kind of gravitated towards your podcast too. You know, I saw that you were posting about it, but when I don't get up to Northern Michigan that much. I go to about West Branch to pick up my son, and that's about it. But listening to your podcast and the first time that I heard Wendy, it was like, holy nostalgia. Like, it was like, man, like, I want to know what that dude's doing. I want to do, you know. And it's, you know, even when you say, like, yeah, like Tree Rat, it's like, geez, oh, Pete's, like, it just brings back so many memories, you know. And you did that, so.
Thanks, man. Thanks. You know, I must say that When you talk about being either, you know, and it's not a black and white thing or whatever, but no matter what community you go to or no matter what kind of people are you're around, whether they look like you or they sound like you or they know you at all. But if you are genuinely curious and you talk to people and you're friendly and you give them a smile and, you know, a genuine, I think, is the most, like, if you really want to be part of the community, if you really want to, you know, listen to, if you ask somebody a question and you really want to hear what they have to say, they could tell that. They could tell a real from a fake. And if you're genuinely curious about people or curious about a new place that you live, or you're excited, you know, tell them that you're excited to be there, or, you know, whatever, you know, people are going to, more 9 times out of 10, they're going to like that, and they're going to let you in. They're going to take you around, you know, and if they think you're a little goofy, that's even better. You know, they think you're funny. And that's it. I've never had a problem from living in Miami with a lot of Cuban people, and Cubans were I ended up having a Cuban roommate, and his family, like, because I was his roommate, like, kind of took me in. And there was a big hurricane down there, and I went down and helped the family, and then all of a sudden I was gold, and then I'm eating Cuban food, and we're dancing salsa in the backyard. I mean, it was awesome, you know? And then all the way from growing up in Boston and all that scene, and now in Northern Michigan, where there's absolutely no culture.
Right.
what is it? And do you miss anything about Northern Michigan?
And
do you feel content where you are? Where do you live, Artemis? What kind of situation do you have living?
Well, right now I live about 10, 15 minutes outside of Flint. Actually closer to 20. But you know, where the station's at is right off of Dort Highway in Flint, and you know, but man, I tell you what, I miss Northern Michigan so much, and it's not just because, you know, that's where my son's at, but I look back at, like, Petoskey, and they always say that, like, oh, you don't miss something until it's gone, and that's definitely the truth, because, man, there's nothing like living in Northern Michigan, whether it's during the winter and it's crazy and it's, you know, hellacious, or during the summer. I mean, I had a one-bedroom apartment in Petoskey, and I raised my son there for, you know, 2 years, and I look back at that, and it's like, that was some of the best times of my life, just being around such an area that's so naturally beautiful. It's something that you know, I definitely, if I was to ever move back, I wouldn't take for granted.
You know, and it is, like, it's good in the ways that you could leave your keys in your ignition for 10 years. You know, like, there's not a lot of people around. There doesn't seem to be a lot of crime and stuff. And that stuff is great. But, you know, you miss being out of the loop of, you know, things happening. Like, you got to drive 4 hours to a concert, you know, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you don't feel like you're on the circuit. You know,
and that's been the biggest part, you know, with being down here. I mean, we're about 35 minutes away from the Palace, you know, 30 minutes away from DTE. You know, my family that's in Detroit, that's about, you know, less than an hour away. So, I mean, it's nice then, like, you know, in the situation where, you know, my wife and I are currently looking for a house, and it's like, okay, well, you can't live in this neighborhood really, because, you know, everybody's car gets broken into there. But I mean, it, you know, there's I mean, you know this just as much as anybody. There's good and bad areas no matter where you live. You know, yeah, there's parts of northern Michigan to where, you know, you go into a bar on a bad night and, you know, you're liable to get into a fight with a drunk redneck who.
Of course.
You know.
Yeah, you'll be just as, there's just as much of a risk going into, let's say, Atlanta, Michigan, you know, out in the sticks. And when you walk into a place and you're an outsider, just as much as you're in a city. But I like my chances in a city. You know, Artemis, I've always said and I've always joked, because I'm from a city and I've been in a city my whole life, you know, Boston and Miami, but I'm more afraid walking in the woods in the middle of the night than I am walking a city street in the middle of the night any day of my life, you know, unless I'm armed. You know, I mean, I'm afraid of bears. I'm afraid of coyotes. I'm afraid of all kinds of things in the woods. I hear noises and I'm running back to the house. Did I ever tell you my time when I first got here, like 3 days, I got here on a Friday. I went and filled out paperwork. And then Saturday morning, it was the next day after I moved in the U-Haul truck, I returned the U-Haul and people say, you got to go to Sleeping Bear Dunes. And so I go to Sleeping Bear Dunes. It's the off season. It's September. And they said, okay, you got to park here on the off season. You can't drive in. So I take my dog and I'm walking in a couple of miles. And then I'm like, man, you know what? I kind of feel like I'm in the middle of the woods. Like I'm in the forest. And then I thought to myself, the name of the place, Sleeping Bear. And then my dog started turning into a hot dog and then back into a dog and then a hot dog and back into a dog. And all of a sudden my heart starts racing. I start running back to my car. Like I first start jogging and I've like all these thoughts of a cougar biting my face and a bear ripping me apart and eating my rib cage and licking my rib cage and my dog dying. And I was really scared. I thought snakes are going to come out of the ground. I didn't know what I was thinking. But anyway, I'm running full speed back to my car because I realized the place was called Sleeping Bear Dunes. And I'm like, the bears are going to wake up and they're going to eat me.
I'm glad that you've adjusted since then.
A little bit. I still don't go out in the woods at night. In fact, I live in a farmhouse and my car is probably like 100 feet away from the house. And I've heard like howling coyotes. I don't know what, like, it sounds like dogs barking way in the woods. And I go out of the house and I'm like, ah, ah, you know, like make some noise and then they get quiet and I go to my car and I get in, I leave.
Your neighbors must love you.
Oh, they can't hear me, man.
I think that's what like with me, I was born in Detroit and I lived there till I was like 9 or 10. And then I moved up to Kalkaska with my dad and he had 88 acres. And I remember we at one time we would go to Cadillac to the Hostess factory there and we would get all the old Twinkies and all the old Ho-Hos and everything. And he would put them in the back of his truck.
Nice.
And we would drop them off across the creek. And at one point we had 13 bear in our yard.
No way.
Yeah. And it was nuts. You know, it was nuts growing up. I think that's why it's so easy to like adapt to certain situations, because going from, you know, living in Detroit to living in northern Michigan to where our driveway was literally a mile long. It was something that you had to adjust to. But I tell you what, seeing those bear in the yard, and it was a terrifying experience at first. But, you know, it's something to where you adapt to it. So,
dude, I saw a possum on my deck and I wouldn't go outside for the rest of the night.
Whatever you do, don't grab their tails. They don't like that.
I'm not going to grab anything. I'm running for the hills. Hey, Artemis, since you live in Flint, I got to ask you the obvious question. How was the water situation down there, and what was that like living through that, and what do you know? What's the real deal, man?
You know, where I live right now, we don't have a water issue. We're outside of, the Flint, water situation. But when it first happened, I got here in December. It happened in April of 2014. I got here in December of 2014. And in January of 2015 is when it really started to blow up. So seeing it go from, you know, people complaining about, you know, getting sick from drinking the water and getting sick from bathing in the water, to actually seeing it hit national news. And now since then, completely disappear from the national mass media outlet. It's crazy. You know, we did a huge fundraiser and got like $180,000 or 180,000 bottles of water for the people in Flint. You know, the population of Flint is only around 100,000 people, and now they've gotten it down to where, you know, only affects a certain percentage of that 100,000. So there's been improvements made, but you know, it's crazy. You definitely don't take, I mean, at least, you know, in our situation, you know, where we live, we don't take, you know, water for granted, because just down the road, there's kids who have to use bottled water to shower, and you have to use bottled water to clean your vegetables and clean your dishes and feed your, you know, and give water to your dog because, you know, dogs are getting lead poisoning.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm glad somebody brought that to my attention when the water crisis was going on. I'm like, you know, they said, what about the dogs? Like, don't feed the water to, like, you don't think, you know, hey, we got to get bottled water for the people, but what, you got to also take care of the animals. You know, that's a big deal for me with the dogs and cats. So,
yeah, it's something to where it's crazy, because when it really hit, you know, Michael Moore did his part and came down here and talked and everything. And, you know, there was celebrities that came through and held basketball games and, you know, charity basketball games and everything. But now, I mean, it's still a problem in the city of Flint. And, you know, but I think it's something that's not going to be fixed for a couple of years. So
what are they actually doing to correct the problem?
So what happened, long story short, they switched from Detroit water to Flint water, and that's really what made it bad, and, you know, lead in the water and everything. But right now they're in the talks of trying to, you know, switch out the pipes, but, you know, every house has pipes. And then they tried doing the filter route, to where they gave everybody a filter.
Yep.
And now
I heard,
you
know, about that.
Yeah, there were some Brita filters that didn't filter out the lead. So then, then it's now when you drive through Flint, if you drive down Dort Highway and you drive down a couple other areas by Atherton and everything, there's actually stops where if you show them your ID, they'll give you cases of water still. That's still going on.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And what about the radio station, the location of the radio station? Did you guys have bad water in your pipes for a time?
We're actually about, I would say, a couple blocks away from where the areas actually started to get impacted by the crisis. So we were pretty lucky, you know, in that aspect. But, you know, I mean, the places, whenever we go to a live broadcast in Flint, there's bottled water everywhere. And it's something that, you know, it's just, you don't really get used to it, because, you know, kids will leave with four or five bottles of water and take them home because it's like, oh, well, I can't drink out of the tap, you know. And it's crazy. It's a different world. You know, people who think that they've got it bad, I'd love to bring them down here and show some of the areas in Flint. I never, you know, everybody goes through the hard times where like, oh, life sucks and everything. But some of the places that we broadcast from, it's like, man, like, you know, you've got it good if you've got clean water and a roof over your head. So,
God bless it. Absolutely. Artemis, you know, I'm so proud of you, man. You are kicking ass on Club 93.7 in Flint. Today's hottest jams. Yeah. And jams, jams, of course, with a Z. But, man, you're moving up, and you're young and moving up so quickly. I'm really proud of you. Now, I knew it from the start when I heard your first piece of production. Like, I met Artemis, and, you know, I was just like, oh, great, we got another intern. No, he's on staff, and this guy's really good. And then as soon as I heard production coming out of the speaker from you, I was like, wow, that is awesome. This guy is talented at 20 years old. And then, you know, you've already done the journeyman thing. You know, you've gone to Indiana. You're in South Bend. Now you're in Flint. I know you're going to be in a big market, man. You've got a long, awesome career ahead of you. And there's just no doubt in my mind, man. Artemis, everyone. And on today's Hottest Jams, Club 93.7 in Flint. Yeah! I gotta do it. I gotta do it.
I think we found a new voice guy. So. All right.
I'm gonna listen to some Lil Dicky when I get off.
I feel like if it's one artist that you would really like, the guy's he's a comedy rapper, and you would like him.
One song that you would recommend, and we'll end the podcast with Lil Dicky.
There you go. Yes. Let's go with it's called Save Dat Money with a D-A-T. Listen to that one.
Save Dat Money. I love
it. Yeah, he talks about using his cousin's Netflix subscription because he doesn't have to pay for it.
See? Awesome. And Artemis, if people can follow you on Twitter, how?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter, just Artemis Radio, A-R-T-I-M-I-S Radio, or on Facebook, just search Artemis.
Artemis Radio. Artemis, you're a good friend. I hope to always stay in touch with you. You know, I used to go to this convention called Morning Show Boot Camp. And,
yeah, yeah.
And I met a lot of people that are serious about, you know, having a career in radio. It's one thing when you go to a small market and people just happen to get a job at the radio station. And, you know, they don't care if they work at a radio station or Home Depot. Like, there's that type of level, and there's also people that will always be in radio, and I think you're going to be one of those people. And the people that I met at Morning Show Boot Camp, it's amazing. Over the last 25 years, I've really stayed in touch with those people, and we try to help each other out. And when somebody's out of work, we try to, you know, hey, I know of a gig, and I'll tell the guy about you. You know, like, we just help each other. It's a great fraternity. So I'm glad you're in it, and I'm glad you're doing well, man. And I'm proud of you. And thanks for coming on today. Northern Michigan's been waiting to hear from you.
Hey, I appreciate it, Omelette. And yeah, we'll definitely keep in touch, man.
All right, man. Artemis, everyone, on the Omelette Radio podcast. Let's play some Lil Dicky, and you have a great night. Go watch the. Are you going to watch the Grammys?
Yeah, I'll probably watch the Grammys.
Yeah, I'm taping it right now. I'm going to rewind. I'm going to fast forward through the commercials. You know me. All right, Artemis, you're the best. Thanks for coming on, man. Great conversation.
Take it easy, man.
See you, bro.
You are listening to the Omelette Radio Podcast on OmeletteRadio.com.
All right, a little modification on the set list here. Thank you, Artemis, for coming on the show. Now it is early in the morning on Monday. I watched the Grammys last night, and I was watching for Metallica and Lady Gaga, and that was visually awesome, but James Hetfield's mic was not on for most of the song, which was just totally disappointing for a production like that. You got to check those microphones, everyone. Anyway, I researched that song by Lil Dicky, and that is just absolutely, I cannot put that on the podcast with good conscience. So let's play some Uncle Cracker, sort of a rock rap thing, and of course, Detroit guy, and all of that. Maybe I actually should have played some Grand Funk because we were talking about Flint so much. But anyway, you guys have an awesome week. I'll see you in a couple of few days, and we'll have a nice solo podcast. Let's roll some Uncle Cracker here. You guys have an awesome week. We'll talk to you on Thursday.
I'll take a pass, be the last in line. And if it takes 10 years, then I'ma be just fine. I saw the signs and the grass ain't green. I found love at the bottom of a bottle of bean. She coming clean, just seems so jaded. And being underrated's underrated, but I don't hate it. I stay stuck in the rut like I should. You know I do it for the love of everything that's still good.
I don't know why.